This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. Welcome to this time of worship. We come together to give praise to God for the gift of love that is for all people.
Our scripture reading is from 1 John 3:16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth, in action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive him from whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. This passage of John's gospel, Jesus is speaking to those who are his disciples, those who are craving his direction for their lives, while at the same time gathered in the midst are also people who are obstinate and stubborn. There are also people who are still uncertain and confused, and some are just downright rebellious. As Jesus is speaking to them, he's pointing out that his message is not about a different set of rules or a different set of standards. It's a relationship. It's a relationship of love, and it is a very special and powerful type of love. What we are hearing is that the necessary and central teaching of being Christian is living by love. And so from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, we hear, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them." The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our good shepherd, we welcome your presence. You make us feel secure, and you enable us to be confident that you will care for our needs. We do not need to fear, but we still struggle. We struggle with our fears and our uncertainties. We're unsure that we are really listening to your voice, and sometimes it's when we hear you clearly that we're more uncomfortable and more uncertain than those times when we are apart from you. Because, Jesus, we know that you're calling us to take seriously the call to love, the call to live in healing and compassion with grace for the world. Holy Lord, we want to slow down and acknowledge that we're not very good at paying attention to what you want to teach us or listening to what you have to say. We want all of the benefits of your attention and your presence without having to consider that you're calling us to act, to live, and to love. We're very slow to acknowledge that we need to be taught how to truly love and to live in the true calling of what it means to be Christian. We need to know your guidance, your direction, so that we might be truly complete and whole. Teach us, we pray. Amen. The passage from today is one of those that is both part of the I Am sections of John's Gospel and also of Christ the Shepherd. It is the intersection of understanding the relationship that Jesus has with us as our Good Shepherd. And this relationship is one that we love. We have the shepherding image in our stained glass in the sanctuary. And many have talked about how that is such a sign of comfort, a reminder that Jesus is going to hold us close, to be gentle, to be compassionate, and always looking out for our best interest. But we forget that the sheep have a job too, to listen, to pay attention. And we find so much comfort and so much joy in the shepherd's voice, but so frequently we struggle to be able to actually hear it and pay attention to the things that Jesus is saying to us. Jesus says to not worry about all of the things that we put in place of him, but instead to listen to his voice, to pay attention to his calling, and to understand he does this out of his free will, out of his love, and out of his grace, and to receive that with great joy, not only with appreciation, but understanding that Jesus has chosen to love us in this way. And as we respond to that, it is truly transforming and healing. Recently, at one of our virtual coffee hours, the question was brought up of the people who identify as Christian, but who are very vociferous and hostile towards other peoples. Even more than that, that at times they equate their Christianity with a political point of view. Or even worse, at times they espouse beliefs of white supremacy, of hostility, of judgment and condemnation, that in so many ways they want to apply the name Christian, but then also act in ways that are hurtful, hostile, and painful. And the question is, how do we perceive that? Well, there's a big problem with that, because if somebody is not practicing love, if somebody is acting in other unloving ways, it isn't any better to be unloving towards themselves. It becomes this extremely difficult equation, kind of a bad math problem if you think about it. If judgment and sin and hostility are leaving one station and traveling east at 50 miles per hour, and grace and forgiveness is traveling west at 100 miles per hour, where will they meet in the middle? And the good news is that grace and forgiveness do travel more rapidly and with more compassion. But the issue is, we get caught in the middle. We, on the one hand, hope not to be practicing the type of hostility, bitterness, resentment, hatred that we've seen so common and unfortunately has become commingled in a lot of people's minds with Jesus' teachings and with Christianity. What we want to do is to be on the other side of that equation, in which we are listening to the shepherd's voice, responding with God's love, and in that way, acting with compassion and grace. We need to be people who are learning and growing in that love. Now, unfortunately, also in our society, love is very typically understood to be an emotion, a warm feeling, a sense of attraction, particularly attraction to better-looking people. And the problem is, that's not the full understanding, the full expanse of what love really is. If you only know love as an experience of an emotion, you don't really have any depth in the relationships with love. In the Greek, there are three words for love. We talk about this from the time people are in Sunday school, but it is a place where it helps us to understand what it means to be those who follow the Good Shepherd. The most base, least sacrificial type of love is in the Greek eros. It's a one-way attachment. It actually has more of a sense of possession than of sacrifice or concern. We love something because of the way it makes us feel. And then there is the second, which is philia, which is a more reciprocal type of love. It's a love in which we have expectations of one another. And in those bonds and in those compassion, we form relationships, but very frequently those relationships are not only conditional, but have demands, expectations. And we are able to function together in philia. But the truly powerful form of love is agape. Agape is that element of love that is self-sacrificial. It is given because the person has chosen to practice love. In the passage from John, Jesus says, I take my life up, I put it down. I make this choice. It's making very clear that Jesus has made the unconditional choice to love us, not because of what we will do and not as a result of anything that we are required to accomplish, but truly because that's Jesus' nature. And this agape, this love that is without condition, without demand, is the defining love that makes us Christian. Well, it's supposed to. Unfortunately, being Christian means practicing a love that's just outside of our reach. It means responding in ways that stretch us. And to fulfill this is something that we're constantly practicing, constantly working to manage. We have so frequently seen Christianity equated with expectations, obligations, morality, or rules, when the real element that we learn from love is that being Christian is the practice of being loved and learning how to love in response with this same self-sacrificial, same generous, same joyful love. It's much more important to us that we understand this as we seek to reclaim what it means to be Christian, that we practice this in a way that really will share Christ's love to this world, because the world is full of hurt and brokenness, and this love is desperately needed. See, we understand that hate and hostility are widespread. We spot it. It tends to announce itself pretty loudly. And it's something that sticks with us. We experience it in ways that hurt, intimidate, cause fear. We so frequently are subject to the animosity and the noise, the hostility and bitterness that so many people carry. And so many want to express that in self-justifying ways, in ways that make them feel free from recognizing the stain and the fault in acting out of that type of hostility and bitterness. So frequently, people will operate out of their fear, their jealousy, their animosity, and their bitterness. And we see that and we recognize that is an attack on ourselves, as defiance of God's love, as something that is so distorting of so much in the earth. And this is the thing about listening to the shepherd's voice, because if we focus upon that animosity, that hostility, bitterness, and resentment, it looks pretty powerful. It appears to have a great deal of influence over the world, and that things are going in the wrong direction. What we don't understand is that the power and the force of that love that the shepherd is giving, that unconditional love that we're seeking to learn, has considerably more power than we realize. Hatred can be mass-produced. Hatred can be put into a program. It can be systematized. It can be exaggerated, and it can be amplified. Love has to happen one-to-one. In order to experience especially this love that the shepherd is teaching and offering, it needs to be individual. It needs to be with compassion for an individual at one time. And so it doesn't have the same type of volume. It doesn't have the same type of ability to be spread widely. But the thing is, one drop of unconditional love given to us by someone who's good at it can wash away thousands of gallons of that bitterness and that animosity. One bit of that unconditional love given joyfully and freely to another person can completely overwhelm so much of the hurt, the fear, and the hostility that they've carried. So while there is a huge volume of so much of this bitterness, it doesn't take much of the unconditional love to really turn a tide. And this is what is our understanding. This is our wisdom, and this is our strength. If we'll listen to the shepherd's voice, if we'll pay attention to what we're being told, both in terms of what our nature is and what each of us has as our role, our place, and our manner of being able to share this unconditional love, then the grace and the healing that Christ is presenting to the world will overwhelm all of this other hostility, jealousy, and anger. Our challenge is not to do the work that needs to be done, but to be people who live by listening to the shepherd's voice. We have a tendency to focus on the jobs, to get caught up in the things that we can see and identify, and we forget that it is so powerful and important that we hold on to what the shepherd is teaching us. This is part of what was in the epistle from 1 John that was read for you this morning. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it reads, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in lack?" And then literally what this says is, "and shuts their stomach." Okay. The stomach in the language and understanding of the people to whom John is writing would be the equivalent of our heart. You know, that kind of makes sense. And let's face it, the way to a man's stomach is probably through his heart. But the thing that is being said here is that those who have capacity and awareness that a brother or a sister is hurting, and the way in which John writes this, it's very clear that they are struggling, they are in need, and then responds with closing themselves, is not going to be having the capacity to hear the shepherd's voice. It's not going to be possible to know that love. That love will not dwell with that shut nature, that closed off response. And let's face it, what causes us to shut our nature, to close ourselves off, is fear. It's a sense of uncertainty that the shepherd really has our best interest in, that we might run out. It's that part of us that is our ego and our jealousy, our uncertainty that says, there might not be enough. I need to hold on to my stuff. You see, those who are clearly listening to the shepherd's voice know that there is such great abundance that I might as well give freely what I have and enjoy that, because more stuff's on its way. And there's no reason to hold back because plenty is coming. The people who listen to the shepherd's voice don't have a sense that only what they control is what they can depend upon. They know that the shepherd is much more in control than we are. And there is so much more that the shepherd wants to do for us. And so we get this double joy, this element of being able to receive and enjoy sharing with the knowledge that this just means more blessing is coming. What John is telling us in the epistle is that love and fear, love and jealousy, love and judgment don't coexist. And the knowledge of God doesn't flow to us, and we can't enjoy that knowledge if we shut down, if we close off, if we refuse to listen to the shepherd's voice because we're afraid of what it might cost us. Our job is to be good listeners. It's not to rigidly follow rules. It's not to live out of a sense of obligation or guilt that we should be doing more so that we can be good people. It's definitely not to live out of fear, but to listen closely to what the shepherd is telling us. The shepherd will tell us who we are, that we are beloved children of God, held close and loved, and will tell us what to do to share that love in a world that is so frequently in need of unconditional love to wash away so much of the hate and jealousy, pain and fear. Our job is to be not only good listeners, but to understand that we pay attention to our brothers and sisters, the individuals, the people who are around us, and to see them, each of us individually placed so that God's work and eyes can be seeing different people in different situations. It is important to recognize that unconditional love at times says no. It doesn't further addiction. It doesn't enable aberrant behavior. It doesn't foster sickness and pathology. Frequently, love considerately and thoughtfully sets boundaries, backs away from places in which harm might be done. And very frequently, it's important to understand that in unconditional love, if we can't be loving enough to accept another person, to welcome them and appreciate them with the gifts they bring, we can at the very least work to withdraw from reacting, to reduce our volatility, to not react in kind with the way they act with us. This is part of what is so difficult about listening to the shepherd's voice, because the shepherd is teaching us that we need to care. We need to be open. We need to be willing to be shaped by our experiences of sharing God's love. This is a process. It requires practice. And these practices, in many ways, line up with the ways in which we love. And the very basic practice is to open ourselves and ask God to feed us through our prayer, through our silence, our meditation, our reading devotions, our worship, and other things which we take in Christ's love for us and our identity as God's beloved children who have been forgiven and set free. And then this second level of love, which in many ways is reciprocal, is to put love into action, to actually do work that enables us to experience the grace of Christ flowing through us, not as an obligation, not as a demand upon us, but because we recognize that in doing these things, we start to experience this unconditional and powerful love of God. And then to love so much that in forgiveness and grace, in compassion and in caring, we can even love the people who don't love themselves. This is the hardest, particularly in places where so frequently we feel personally insulted. You know, in the process of putting this sermon together and writing it, I've had two calls from telemarketers, and I've had to deal with several people who refuse to wear masks. It's that type of compassionate, unconditional love that most identifies us with Christ. It's sacrificial. When it comes flowing out of a heart that comes from God, even as Jesus in this passage from John identifies him as being in that same way, it is the most transforming and powerful way. We get to hear the shepherd's voice most clearly at those moments, even though we like them least. You know, it's in the times in which we're actually making a sacrifice. We're actually setting aside our demands and our expectations and joyfully and lovingly releasing that gift of grace that Jesus wants to share through us, that we hear the shepherd's voice so clearly. What God is inviting us to and what God is inviting us to be are people who are practicing and knowing this continual gift of the shepherd's voice, affirming us as we are, directing us to places where we might serve, and setting us free to truly enjoy and appreciate all of this love and grace that is being set free fully for the world. It is so much more powerful than the hate, the hostility, the selfishness, jealousy, the bitterness that quite frequently people tangle up into a justification through calling it Christian. But as we respond and we practice listening to the shepherd's voice, Christianity stands out as a gift of unconditional love from Christ to the world. And we are its messengers. And that is very good. Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. Our facilities are at 1225 4th Street in Fond du Lac. And if you have anything you'd like to say, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. God's blessings be with you and your family. Stay safe. We look forward to when we can be together again.